Welcome, everybody, to Shitty Cowboys. Hey, guys, what happened last week on Shitty Cowboys? It was a fun one.
It was a good time. We built a perfectly serviceable cabin up in the woods. I suppose we returned. Well, I suppose we'll start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. We returned from the Witch Iron Mine. We got our payment from Chester Buttery. Went to the lumber yard, which was Gnome Depot, I believe. Spoke to a fellow there who was a very, very lonely gnome. bought some lumber from him. And then we carried that out there to the woods, the Weird Whisper Woods, where we erected a cabin and a fire watch tower on top of a little point there in overlooking a bend in the river. Real nice spot. And we made that house with absolutely no faults whatsoever. It was perfect in every way.
But was it, though?
Well,
something about a hallway?
I mean, there is that hallway, but that's really more of a feature than a fault. It kind of just channels you in there, gets you real snug-like. It's supposed to represent coziness. It's good feng shui.
Yeah, so in that water feature in the foyer.
Yeah, it's beautiful, right? You know, some people, you know, they need like white noise or like the sound of rain falling to help them sleep. And me and Sean, we being real close to nature, we like that kind of thing. So, you know, as I say, there's nothing wrong with the house at all. It is perfect and meets with every design specification we had.
Yeah, and that was really it. It was a little bit of a shorter episode because, I mean, we set out to build a house, and gosh dang it, we built us a house. So,
consarn it, we built ourselves a house. Dagnabbit.
So I guess we could the house. If you all remember, one thing that we're kind of keeping track of now is days, because now you all have a 50-50 stake. In Witch Iron Mine, the other 50-50 stake, of course, owned by the one and only Chester Buttery. And so we're kind of keeping track of days to determine how much gold you all can collect anytime that you swing by the town of West Hollow, now that you're living outside of the town. We'll start off on day 26, the day after you all finish building your house. You all wake up, beautiful sunrise. How is the first day sleeping in your house proper? How's that going to get kicked off?
We cuddling? I'm
going to be... Oh, sorry, you go first there, boy.
I feel like we'd be cuddling, right?
You guys do have two separate rooms, right?
Well, yeah, but we get lonely.
It's the first night.
Oh, that's true. It's spooky.
You know, sometimes you go to bed separately and you have good intentions. You're going to sleep alone for the first time in a long time. And then you just get cold and you feel there's a lack of human body warmth in the small of your back. And sometimes you need to go back and have a spoon.
Yeah, the house hasn't built heat yet. It's just cold, so...
No, we got to keep warm by pressing our naked bodies together. So in a way, it's proven survival. I could light a fire.
Who wants that, though? Who wants to do that work? Which one of you is kind of the more early riser in general, really? This is more for my knowledge than anything else.
I likes to get up good and early and have a fiddle. I'll be out there shirtless on the porch there, just having a play Cotton Eye Joe on the fiddle. So I like to see at the crack of dawn, up with the birds, playing my fiddle along with the birds.
I'm up 3 hours later.
Sean Marson gets to just wake up to this beautiful fiddling going on.
Yeah, I've just been playing Cotton Eye Joe for 3 hours.
You only know one song. It's beautiful, though. It's a beautiful rendition.
I'm kind of caught in a trance.
And I'm guessing what kind of food you all been collecting for breakfast and stuff? Out here in the wilderness, it's pretty plentiful. I mean, it's, you know, not hard to find berries. Anything that's not super rare.
Well, I mean, they can go looking for bear eggs, or there'll be wild boar out there in the, like, you know, razorbacks and that. And just harvest little bits of bacon, like I said before. You just cut a little bit of bacon off the belly of the boar, and you let it go away, and it grows back. That's Mama Nature's sustainable bacon.
I forgot about the regenerative properties of boars in this game.
That's right.
So after you all have this 3-hour Cotton Eye Joe concert for the one and only Sean Marston, and have some bacon and bear eggs, what would you two like to do today? On your, it's probably kind of weird because you guys have almost spent a full month with something to do, building this thing, and now it's built.
Well, I ain't never been a gentleman of leisure. Kind of want to work for a living, I suppose. And there's always things that we can do around the place, make it better. I was looking at maybe getting some kind of sending stones up in the tower. Or,
it's a good idea.
What else? The ammunition, some place where you can make sure we never run out of bullets, because we ain't real good at math, so sometimes we lose count of precisely quite how many bullets we got at any given time. That'd be nice. Or the moonshine shack. That'd mm-hmm. be pretty cool, too. There's all kinds of upgrades we could be working toward, and I reckon we can go call on Chester, see if we got any profits coming from the Witch Iron Mine, and then maybe check out the bounty board and see if there's any work going. What say you, Sean?
Sound good to me, boy. Like yes, right. Let's go.
All right.
Like yes.
Just threw me off a little bit there.
Sean did mention to me he was changing his voice, so it didn't hurt his throat as much today.
That's probably a good call. Just you surprised me.
Like yes, let's get.
Yeah, it's all right, yes. It's them honey teas we've been having. Really cleared up that bronchitis been troubling you for so long.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, wah, wah, wah.
Hollywood, let's go.
So you guys mount up Hollywood and Ubo and head off to town. And I'm just now realizing that... I believe we said the journey to this place took, I think it was like an 8-hour ride down here. So I'm just now realizing that that's going to be kind of annoying whenever we'll figure it out. You all make it to town. We'll say around like lunchtime, a little bit late for a lunchtime, like 1 o'clock in the, a little bit past high noon. And do we want to just do the roll for the gold, or do we actually want to go and talk to Chester?
It's up to you. If you think it would flow better to just do the roll, and we'll pretend we had a chat with Chester. We'll
and that was my question. As long as you guys don't like have anything you guys need from Chester, I think it makes sense.
Really, other than just to put him in his place, like I do every single time.
I mean, we could bully him for a little bit.
It's not bullying.
Beat his ass in the street.
I'm gonna beat your ass raw in the street, there, Chester. Making sure he does his job.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I think sometimes we might have a conversation with him if Chester either has something for you two or if you two have something for Chester. And if not, I think we can just, anytime we swing by town, we can go ahead and just do a roll for it. So, my thinking was going to be, and will you two please remind me if I said this out loud last time or not? Because I do not remember. My thinking was going to be I was going to roll a d20 and multiply that by however many days it's been. But I'm realizing it might be better to do a lower die, but have it with a modifier, like a +6 or something. Because I would hate to roll a d20 and get a 1, and then you two make 26 gold in a month. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking maybe like a...
12.
Yeah,
maybe a lot of people were sick that month.
Yeah. And that is going to be part of it. Part of it is going to be kind of an ebb and flow with sometimes something may have happened. There may have been a cave-in in the mine, or, you know, there's going to be different circumstances that will regulate how much gold you all make. So, yeah, how about we try, at least for this first one, we'll do a D12 plus... we'll do a D12 plus 6. And if you one of you two want to roll that, I kind of
do like
be...
a D100 instead.
Yeah, but then that also... Oh, a D100 times 26, but that could still be a 1.
Plus 100.
It could be a 1.
Divided by 6, and then times that by the original number, and then, you know, the square root of that is what we'll get.
Damn it. Let's keep it simple, and I want to make sure that...
it's perfectly simple.
If you know some simple elementary math... yeah, let's do a D12
plus 6 right?
For now. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And that's brilliant. Mostly completely just made up on the spot.
8.
Okay, and of course, we all know that 8 times 26 equals... where'd that go? It's pulling up somewhere. 208. So you two will collect a total of 208 gold just for swinging by, which is pretty not too bad. So I guess 104 gold each. And I don't remember how much gold you both have right now. I think you spent a decent amount on the lumber, but I think you also both had a few gold pieces left over.
I thought I had like 10 or something.
I'm not sure. Maybe. Yeah,
I will go back and listen to that at some point and tell you precisely how much money we have.
Y'all, we're really good at keeping notes on this show.
Wait, what did we just earn?
You both just got 104.
104, yeah. Okay. 104, sorry. Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Building a house.
Yeah. So now that you guys have stopped by Chester, picked up your cut of this month's gold, what would you guys like to do in the town?
Well, don't have no booze up in the hills. I wonder if that handsome fella with the bear shake omelets is working today. He's a pretty nice fella. Go have a look in the old saloon. Wet the trail dust out of the old throat. Hollywood could probably use a sarsaparilla.
Oh, jeez. Okay, you want to roll, try to get Hollywood back in there again?
Yeah.
That could... Oh, yeah. That's always fun. Let's try it. I don't think it worked last time, did it? I think you rolled bad and you couldn't...
I've had mixed results with Hollywood.
So if you're an animal handling and your DC... Oh, that sounds way too loud.
25.
Holy hell. You've learned from your previous mistakes, and you are able to... Maybe the last time you tried, you put a little bit of denting in the saloon doors, cracked the wood a little bit, and for whatever reason, now you are able to get Hollywood into the Dusty Boots Saloon. And inside, it's actually pretty crowded, which, I mean, it's a little weird because it's, you know, like I said, it's a little late for lunchtime, so a little strange that it's this packed, but you've got some people playing poker over in the corner, you've got somebody playing on one of those tin pianos in an opposite corner. There's not many seats available except for... just a handful of seats at the bar, and now you've got Hollywood also just kind of cramping up the foyer.
Make way, can you see I got a horse in here? Come on, get.
People, whether by choice or just sheer power of Hollywood, are getting scooted aside as you three make it up to the bar, and it's just Hollywood's just head is just like over the bar, leaning over behind the counter, eating the cherries down there. I'm sure horses like cherries, right?
Good boy. Good boy.
Oh, shit. Hollywood found the sugar cubes.
Yeah, he's a good boy. So, howdy.
It's the Bear-Aid guy.
Howdy. Hey, it's a handsome stranger. How you doing?
Yeah, I don't remember this guy's voice at all. It's probably like this, a little bit of a twang to it, so maybe. We'll try, we'll see how it goes. Hey!
Ha! Out of there!
Sometimes I just, you know, like to really make sure that I'm sticking to a very consistent voice, and sometimes I feel like it sways one way or another, and I just wanted to make sure I'm using the same voice I used when I talked to you about the bear eggs last time. I remember the cuddle we had and the bear eggs. You two, I haven't seen you two around here in quite some time.
Nah, well, we've been off building. Getting ourselves a little homestead up in the Weird Whisper Woods.
Oh, he's while this conversation's going, he's trying to take Hollywood's head and nose and kind of point it away, because now Hollywood is really getting into the nooks and crannies of those sugar cubes.
Hey, good boy.
He's just like trying to put. Oh, so how did you get this big fella in here?
Through the door.
Yeah, I can see that he is much bigger than that door, though. Can you... we're out of sugar cubes now, so I hope you didn't need anything with sugar in it.
No, just some whiskey. Sarsaparilla for Hollywood.
Sarsaparilla for... is this big guy right here Hollywood, or is this Hollywood? Hollywood. He points at Sean Marston.
No, that's Sean.
Okay.
Sean Marston. I'll take a beer.
I don't remember if I... Okay, a beer, sarsaparilla, whiskey.
Whiskey.
And,
did he think I was Susan before?
Not this guy. That was in the trough.
That was in the trough.
I think you're specifically only Susan at the trough.
All right. Yeah.
The famous Susan.
Sleepy Susan Stew. Oh, shit. Guys, we're funny sometimes. Okay. So, yeah, I can get all that. This thing's now working its way down to the lemons, and I don't know if it's going to like that. Here, let me just get that bucket of sarsaparilla, maybe distract it a little bit. Oh, pop, and he plops down a big, like a water bucket, like a mop bucket of sarsaparilla in front of Hollywood. And then he grabs a bottle for Sean Marston, cracks it open, sets it on the counter, and then pours a double shot of whiskey for you, Jambalaya.
Thank you kindly.
And while you two are enjoying your drinks, and Hollywood is definitely enjoying his drink, you hear in the corner from that poker table, "You cheat!" And you look over and you see this... pretty elderly man that has this, just his hat as he stood up has fallen off his head. He's got a big bald spot on top of his head with this wiry, stringy white hair going down to his shoulders. His face looks like it's been taking a beating from the sun. And across from him at the table is this little tiny gnome that is in a pretty nice looking suit. Kind of like it looks like a modern day like magician suit. And he says, "No, I wasn't cheating. It was just luck of the draw." And you can see beads of sweat going down his face. And as soon as he scoots back from the table and puts his hands up, a couple cards fall out of his sleeves. And then, as if on cue, all hell just breaks loose. You see, the guy with the wiry hair, grab him up by the collar and throws the first punch, and then everybody around the room just erupts. People are taking the chair they were sitting in and they're breaking it and just using the chair legs, and everyone seems to maybe have some of that programming still from when West Hollow was first westernized or wild westernized. But everyone's getting in on this. Everyone seems to be enjoying themselves. And then a separate little gnome runs over to you, Sean Marston. And he starts kicking you as hard as he can in the shin. Okay. And he's just yelling, Marvin, you bastard! So, real quick, does an 11 hit you, Sean Marston?
No, but he thinks I'm Marvin.
He doesn't even seem to be talking to you. It seems like he's kind of like venting some frustration at this Marvin. But we can go ahead and, I don't even think we need initiative, really. I think we can just have some fun with this if you guys want.
All right.
I'm going to stab this gnome in his forehead. He's a goner.
That's quite the escalation.
Okay. He's kicking my shin, dude.
That's, I mean, that's fairly in keeping with how we respond to things usually.
So. He's got to pay, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm rolling it.
18, 5 points of damage. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Play a scalp open.
Yeah.
With a bottle. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Break your beer bottle. And
That's a little bit not as bad.
Okay. So what we'll do for that. Oh, okay. Well, it was.
Just stab him in the face.
So how we'll do that a little bit different is it's actually still a D4. So you all are aware, all of the things in this room, people are using a wide variety of things. Some people are using bottles, some people are using chair legs, some people are using full tables, but they're all improvised weapons, so they'll all be 1d4 damage. And your dagger was a d4, but it was also plus your proficiency, but since you're using your bottle now, we'll just take the 2 instead of the 5. So that will be 2 points of damage as you... Are you gonna smash a bottle on the counter and then stab?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, Jambalaya, what are you doing? Hollywood is just still head deep in this mop bucket of sarsaparilla.
I am gonna mount Hollywood.
Oh God!
This is why I was so excited for you to bring Hollywood in here.
Yeah, I'm mounting up.
But we'll say that I think mounting a horse in D&D is like half your movement or something like that. So we'll say that that was half your movement.
Hollywood! Let's go! And then we'll try and make him just like trample around the inside of the saloon.
Roll.
It's time somebody brought some law and order to this situation.
Roll an animal handling check for that.
See if I can convince him to get his head out of the bucket of
yeah. Sarsaparilla. I think that's what most of this check is gonna be.
A 7.
Oh no. You mount up and you're like trying to kick it, kick him into action, and he's just sitting there head deep in that bucket, just paying you no attention at all.
Dang ordinary old mole. Come on.
You look over and you see a woman that has a metal arm, and she takes her metal arm off, and there are these two other gentlemen fighting, and she's just like hitting both of them with that metal arm now. The gnome that was kicking at Sean Marston has fled and has left the saloon, bleeding pretty badly. And then a dwarf with this big, enormous mustache jumps onto a chandelier from a table, gets a big running leap, and I'm going to roll for it and see if this works as I was thinking. Whoa, wow, a 19. Yes, jumps, swings from the chandelier, and I almost called you Silas. Jambalaya.
No, that's a different show.
He kicks you maybe off of Hollywood. I'll let you roll a strength saving throw to see if you're able to hold on.
Okay. If I beat him, can I do a reversal?
Yeah. Oh, man, 21. Okay, yeah. What's this look like?
So when he comes swinging in to, like, double kick me in the chin, I grab him by the waist
and just power bombing off the side of my horse under the floor.
Fantastic. All right, we'll go back up to Sean Marson now. Sean Marson, people have seen you stab that gnome now, and they're giving you a little bit of a wide berth right now.
Okay.
But you can definitely still get crazy in on this action. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to mount the dwarf that tried to get him and stab him, stab him in the forehead with my bottle.
It's a famous double team maneuver for Sean Marston, Jambalaya Pendergrass, the old powerbomb mounted stabbing.
Oh, I don't know if that's going to hit a 12.
Well, you'll have advantage because he'll be prone okay now from that's Jambalaya. True.
He's being powerbombed, yeah.
Oh, shit. Let's see.
An eight.
Yeah, he, as soon as he hits the ground, he starts rolling just kind of from his own, inertia, and then so as soon as you jump down to try to mount him, he is already rolling out of the way. He rolls under a table. Jambalaya, we're back up to you.
I don't rightly know what's going on or who to focus my anger on. Firebomb the dwarf.
Like I said, it mostly
one
looks
thing
like
to cross off my bucket list.
It mostly looks like these people are just kind of letting loose some like pent up energy or something, or frustrations, yeah, look, or having fun.
Is there anybody who looks like they're in prime position to get kicked right in the balls?
Let's see.
Get like a run up. Get a drop kick right in there.
So you're still on your horse, right? On Hollywood.
Yeah, I guess I could just, like, I tell you what, if I'm still mounting on Hollywood, I'll just get up, stand on his back on the saddle, and then do, like, a missile drop kick.
Okay.
just on the nearest person.
The nearest person. We will say the nearest person to you is actually a, it's this Warforged that is, the guy with the wiry hair that dropped his hat. The Warforged is bending down, picking up that hat, trying it on, and then leaning around and looking in the bar's mirror and looking at himself and taking it off. And he's kind of right now just like looking for other hats that people have dropped and trying them all on. And in the middle of one that he's bent down picking up a new hat, let's see how your dive bomb kick goes.
What am I rolling for that? For that?
An unarmed strike, I guess?
Unarmed strike? All right. This is a high-risk maneuver.
NBA is bleeding in. 14.
14.
That will indeed hit.
Yeah.
So, and with 3 bludgeoning damage, I forget how unarmed strikes do. Is it just like your strength modifier damage every time?
Something like that.
Something like that. Well, it says 3 points of damage right there. And also, I just realized that... Damn it, Clancy. The sound switched back to the outside sound. Yeah, the bartender now, the bear eggs guy, you haven't seen him for a couple seconds, but then you see him pop up from behind the bar, and he slams a basket down on the bar, and it's just filled with about a dozen bear eggs. And he just starts eating them at different customers around the room. Sean Marson, one of them accidentally hits you. You think it's on accident, maybe, okay, while you're down on the ground. And, yeah, we'll go back up to Sean. All right.
Is anybody standing under the chandelier?
No, the dwarf was the only person that has yet to try to, sorry, you said standing under it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually a group. There's 3 people that are kind of in like a triangle. They all have one hand on somebody else's collar, and they're all just kind of pulling each other back and forth, and right now it's pretty deadlocked, and they're like directly under it.
All right, I'm going to shoot it. So false. Can I do that?
Yeah. Just roll your gun.
Quick draw!
20. Yeah, you... Let me roll this. Let's see. I think probably 2d6 damage. I'm going to roll 2d6 damage from the chandelier falling on them. And 7. Okay. I was going to see if it was going to be enough to actually knock them unconscious in one go. It doesn't. So as soon as it falls on them, clasps on them, knocks all three of them to the ground, and they are all looking... Some of the glass from the chandelier has now broken off and cut them up pretty good, and they've got some pretty gnarly bruises and bumps on them. But they are still conscious. They're still, like, laying there, all three, just, like, in a three-way fight. Jambalaya.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure if a chandelier fell on me, all the fat would just go right out of me. Yeah, I don't think I've been laying there with my spleen punctured or whatever, just still flailing around trying to fight the fellow next to me. These guys are clearly something's quite wrong.
You think it's probably, you know, everybody complained about when Quick Clank McCrank, you know, was around the town and had these scheduled bar fights and stuff. But deep down, it's starting to look like these people are kind of missing it.
All right. Well, I know there's an upstairs to this here place. I'm going to try and bull my way through the crowd and run up the stairs there if I can.
Okay.
Using all of my movement.
Yep.
And then I want to try and lasso somebody from the upper floors and, like, hoist them up so they're just... No, so they's hanging, just so they're, like, tied up, like, around the waist.
Like, funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, do your lasso. This will be the dwarf that Sean Marston, that tackled Sean Marston, or Sean Marston tackled it. This will be, that's going to hit, a 12 will hit. He has stood back up on a table now, and he looks up, and it's right when Sean Marston... shot the chandelier down. He was standing on a table nearby. He was going to try again for his patented chandelier attack. And he just looks a little dejected at Sean Marston shooting down the chandelier just as you lasso him up. And he starts to swing and dangle right under the balcony. And at that moment, while he's dangling, Chester Buttery comes in and he's got an actual like shotgun. Not just like a hunting rifle, but like an actual big slug shotgun. And he shoots it in the air. And, okay, now, everybody, calm down. Calm down. And
about time you showed your face around here, Chester.
Looking around, Hollywood is still has his head in the mop bucket again of sarsaparilla. Sean Marston is... I guess you're still just shot the chandelier down. We've got Jambalaya dangling somebody from the balcony, and just everyone instantly stops. The guy behind the bar throws one more bear egg before everything kind of calms down, and then everybody just like in unison starts to stand up and like pick the chairs back up and start just kind of cleaning the place up. That's right. That's what I thought. Oh, it's you two again.
That's right. It's us two again.
I've got some paperwork. I'll be in my office. You two.
It's all right. Well, we was here doing your job for you, trying to restore order here.
Yeah, it looks like it. Down.
I was using the utmost restraint, literally. And I just let go of the lasso and the dwarf drops.
Smashes into a table that people had just picked up. Okay, well, you two have fun. And if you need me, I'll be over at the sheriff's office.
I will be sure to not need you.
So, After a few minutes, people get it cleaned up pretty quickly, and the gnome in that... not the gnome that Sean Marston stabbed. That guy is gone.
He's going home and reevaluating his life.
Yeah, it's like, fucking Marvin!
How am I going to explain this to Linda? Oh, my face!
The other gnome that was playing the cards with the guy with the wiry hair, they're back to playing poker or whatever they were playing before, as if nothing happened. The guy behind the bar had...
Those robots really fucked these people up.
The guy behind the bar gives Sean Marston another beer since his beer bottle... I don't even know if a drink was taken out of it prior to it getting smashed. And at this point, Hollywood lifts his head back up, but the latch on the, like, the handle of the mop bucket stuck, so now he's just got the mop bucket on his head, like, looking around, like, what's going on? And the guy says, well, now I hope y'all didn't want any bear eggs. I'm fresh out. You need anything else to eat?
No, I reckon we'll probably be fine. I mean... Does this happen all the time?
Oh, shoot. It's probably been good, I don't know, 6 months since we had a good bar fight like that.
I guess you got all that pent-up aggression. We were just used to getting into organized fights every single day.
Yeah.
I guess that does something to a fella's psyche.
Yeah, I guess everyone just missed it a little bit.
You know, ripping off her iron arm and beating three fellas with it was...
Oh, that's Janice. Yeah, she does. Well, she does that a lot. She doesn't need a bar fight for an excuse to rip off that arm and beat a couple people with it.
Does it grow back?
Well, she can attach it back.
It's made of iron.
Gotcha. She's not. She's like a flesh person. just a Warforged arm. But yeah, I guess it's like a clip on. Okay, I gotta go back to the back and grab some more bear eggs. If y'all are good, just enjoy your drinks. And he steps off into the back of the... behind the bar where the kitchen is. And things are calming down a little bit again, and a couple people have now left after a half hour or so. And once a couple spots around you guys clear up on the bar... This man in his, probably in his 30s, he's got stubbled brown hair and a stubble of a beard on him. He's got a nice looking wide-brimmed cowboy hat and then a nice brown duster coat. And at his side, instead of having two guns, he's got two hand crossbows. And he sits down and he looks at you both and he says, I'm not going to do this. I'm sure that was great audio.
That's what it sounded like.
I might just switch and do that voice because I don't think I'm going to be doing this other voice.
I am going to do this voice now.
It's like... A scratchy Ubo. That's what it sounds like.
Hey, my name's Silas, and I was, a moment ago, I was talking like an old English man, but then I realized I couldn't do that, so I went with this one instead.
Yeah, that's probably a wise decision, my boy.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. That's for dang sure. So anyway, yeah, my name is Silas, and, I know it sounds like I'm talking really loud, but I'm actually whispering right now. You don't want to see me yell. That's a whole nother story.
You're causing avalanches in a completely different state.
Oh, yeah. I knocked down buildings in it last time I raised my voice when I stubbed my toe.
Wait, you really the Screaming Sky Cowboy?
Oh, that's my nickname in college.
Oh, God. We are in the presence of greatness, Sean.
Anyway, you two are... I really like how you handled yourselves in that fight. Shooting down the chandelier, roping that dwarf up from the balcony. That was pretty cool. Hey,
I've been handling myself since I was a boy.
What about that stab?
That face stab? Really nice. You two...
I like the sudden and immediate escalation to vicious, lethal violence. It was, firstly, that was my real favorite there. It was real good.
Johnny just gave me disadvantage.
Smash a ball right in the face.
Learn from the best.
Yeah, you did. Anyway, what are you saying? You like the cut of our jib?
Yeah, pretty much. This voice is really killing me doing this whisper here. Anyway, have you all ever been
Just let yourself go off the chain. You go all out, boy.
Oh, I'd bring the roof down.
Well, I don't want to see you hurt your voice. You know, if it's hurting you to hold it in and restrain yourself, maybe you should just let it out.
Maybe one day you all will see it. But for now, have you two ever been to Wisp Gulch City?
I can't even pronounce it.
I can't either. It's actually Wisp Gulch.
Wisp Gulch.
Wisp Gulch.
I've
never been there.
It's down south, right along those Iron Mountains, right down there. It's ruled pretty ruthlessly by a Clot Brimmer. Clout, some may call him. I call him Clot. It's probably Clout. It's with a K. Okay. I don't know if you need a...
Clickety clang clang clickety clue.
Right. I don't know if you need to spell that or not. If you're just good with calling him Clout.
No, is he just a fellow we need to shoot? Is that essentially what we're looking at?
The goal is for us three. It's gonna be five once I get my companions. We're gonna go and arrest them. See, I'm kind of a bounty hunter myself, and Clot here has murdered one of my friends, so we just need to bring him to justice.
All right, well, that's something we can certainly get behind. I mean, I am a wilderness ranger, as you can see by my badge here. And, I police didn't even these wilds. Well, you see, I am an authority figure, and you will treat me as such, as defined by the parameters of this here magic item. I am a wilderness ranger, and this here is my junior deputy law dog, Sean Marsh.
Howdy.
He is my partner in life and in the law.
Naked Colors. Really,
did I say my name? I think I did. No, yes, it's Silas.
It's Silas.
Hey, I'm just trying to bring it back in. I'm hoping my two.
You seem familiar somehow in a bunch of different ways. I ain't quite. I can't put my finger on it.
I'm hoping my two companions talk more than me, but we do have to go and scoop them up before we
I'm interested to see what kind of voices they're gonna have. I'm sure they'll be fun.
Well, one's not much of a talker. Hey, I gotta keep. Getting it back, it keeps running away from me.
You know, something about your story just ain't adding up there, Mr. Silas.
I'm really being a lot more sincere than it's coming out right now.
I mean, your voice just keeps changing. You keep saying you got to get yourself back into it.
None of that is on purpose for me as a character.
It's like you're acting for a role you ain't prepared for very well.
Like I was going to try to come out being an old Englishman, and I completely pulled the ripcord on it.
Instead, you went for the Cookie Monster. It was certainly an interesting artistic choice. Well, I suppose we try and find those rails again.
Yeah, let's find. Speaking of rails, if you're wondering how we were gonna get down there to Wisp Gulch City,
oh my, it ain't on that goddamn flesh train, is it?
It's on the flesh train's replacement tracks that they've been building the last 25 days. Y'all probably saw it, right? Y'all been around town the last 25 days, right?
We've been out in the woods. Rode on the flesh train on its final journey. That thing was a death trap. Well, good beef, though. Mysterious train beef. It was delicious.
Hey. Anyway, the new lightning rail they installed in just the last 25 days, it's mostly the same track, but it also makes a stop down at Wisp Gulch City now. Clot paid for it himself to add that stop in on the lightning rail.
My goodness.
Yeah, so once we collect my buddies Twang and Doc, we'll just board on that lightning trail. We'll get there in no time. Arrest Clock. I'll give you both 250 gold pieces each, and we'll call it a day.
Is it a meat train again?
No, it's not a meat train. It's a big metal train now. They realized that the meat train had a mind of its own and was very vulnerable to the sun, the elements, everything.
It smelled pretty bad.
It was. There was nothing good about it. Nobody knows where that train came from. Someone named Alex.
That thing was like 90% melanoma.
Yeah, someone named Alex decided to create it. Had sphincters all over it.
You don't need to tell us.
This is a sphincter-free metal train. Wow, lightning rail. That is
The innovations of that their science. Will wonders never cease.
But
all right, so what about these Twang and Dot? What can you tell us about them?
Twang is... Twang's actually in town, so we can go scoop him up real quick. We'll have to journey a little bit to get Doc, but it shouldn't be too long. But if y'all are done with your drinks here, we can go to the stables where Twang's hanging out. We can go scoop him up.
All right. Well, I ain't got nothing better to do.
Sound good to me.
Oh, Jesus. Cheese and crackers. That is doing a number. Unfortunately...
Peas and rice.
As you all are approaching the stables, you hear coming from the stables what sounds like dueling banjos. And it sounds like just two people that are in like this fierce back and forth banjo duet. And after you all approach, who can whistle for me and make it look like I'm whistling?
On me. I know. I can whistle like a little bit, but not very good.
There we go. That was all me, everybody.
Was the whistle so perfect that it cut the audio out?
Did you hear that? It did sound like it cut it a little bit.
You got to do it again.
I don't know if you're doing it and it's cutting it out, or if you're just not doing it.
I know, it's gone.
It's gone.
My lips are either too wet or too dry. I can't do it.
This is why I love that, you know, if people listen to it as a podcast format, it gets some editing into it. And it's got some extra sound effects and stuff added into it, which is great. But also, the people that are listening to the podcast, sometime you also need to stop by and watch the stream, because a lot of it just does not transfer, I don't think. Okay.
I can do one of these.
He does a really good whistle. And at that...
Yeah, better than any of those shit whistles.
Both the banjos just cut. And then you see a small... feathery figure of a Kinku step outside from underneath the loft of the stables, and it is eyeing you both warily under a wide-brimmed hat, and its hands are clutching a banjo, a very nice-looking banjo, and the Kinku utters a couple like excited plucking notes as it sees its friend Silas, and every note that's coming out of its voice, it just sounds like a banjo. Which is very unfortunate, because now I can't switch to Banjo Boy's voice, and I've got to continue to talk.
Hey. This here's Twang. He's my Kinku friend. Just sounds like a banjo and likes to play the banjo. Hope that's cool with you. I hope you both like the banjo, because there's going to be a whole lot of it until we part ways.
Jambalaya pulls his... fiddle out from his bedroll and just sort of plucks a few notes alongside.
The Kinku...
Absolutely fine by me. I love music.
The Kinku starts like bouncing up and down very excitedly, and again starts to play the banjo while at the same time voicing notes from what sounds like two different banjos.
That is a mighty fine talent you got there, mister.
It's just bobbing its head and just continues that that duet, that dueling duet it's playing.
Okay, well, if you two have had enough fun for one, hey, We need to go ahead and hit the road.
Go start laughing at that.
We need to hit the road because Doc is a few miles up north, up in the plains. There was a dinosaur stampede that injured a few halflings. So I almost said Tanya.
Well, there's a sentence I didn't expect to hear today.
I almost said Tanya because I read the chat for a moment. No, Doc.
Excuse me? The chat?
Yeah, there's a bulletin board that people post messages right there. Okay. And I just, my eyes glanced at the board. The last message was Tanya saying,
most of them are real nice and some of them are real dicks.
Yeah, Tanya's last message says, "You're such a problem. Who invited you?" I don't know who that person was responding to, but
I think that's probably Johnny. He usually is the one getting the getting the people's backs up there. In any case, salami drapes, my goodness. What a world we live in.
So for the sake of me saving my voice just a little bit, we'll say that Silas grabs, that's going to be really confusing saying Silas so many times on this show. Silas will grab his horse from the stables. It's a white and brown spotted horse. And Twang jumps up and like sits in front of Silas as Silas mans the reins for the horse.
All right, well, we better get going before it gets too dark out.
And you all head up north. Apparently to some dinosaurs. Have either of you ever seen dinosaurs? Jambalaya or Sean Morrison?
I ain't ever seen no dinosaurs.
You know, sometimes when you've been around for a few years, you might see, you know, sometimes what you might think is a cat is in fact a triceratops.
Well, I've seen a cat.
Well, you know, cats ain't really like a triceratops. It's just some people think they is. Because, the things they got in common is that they're very quiet. Real quiet. Now, Triceratops is like 10 tons of rampaging lizard. And you would think that he would be very loud. But he's quiet. Real quiet. They got real habit. They make themselves some slippers out of like pine needles. Soft moss. They sticks them together on their clawed lizard feet. They sneaks around, making no noise like. These ingenious creatures is Triceratops. Like a cat. And also they eat mice. You might have heard they was herbivores. She's wrong. They sneak up and they wait outside the mouse hole. They just open their big lizard mouth. And they just pretend that they is a mouse hole. And the mice just runs in. Anything the mice is trying to eat, like wheels of cheese or, you know, like a elaborately glazed ham. Sometimes there's a cat come looking for the mouse and you know how they fight and the cat will just be laid in the chair smoking a cigar while the mice is stealing the cheese. Well, neither of them hear the Triceratops come sneaking up with his mouse slippers and come eat up the whole house. So, yeah, that's why Triceratops is like a cat.
Because they make pine tree slippers and eat mice.
They look like a cat?
Yep. No, they look like I mean, they got a...
I ain't never seen one. I don't know what it is. Explain.
Yeah, it's like it's like a lizard, but with, like, bony horns on its face.
Okay.
It's probably, it's like the size of a small house.
Like, yes.
It's kind of like that, but it ain't furry.
So this whole conversation has been going by, and Silas is, like, enraptured by this conversation, because... Silas has seen dinosaurs before, and he has never once
compared a Triceratops to a cat. This is kind of his first glimpse at Jambalaya's knowledge.
You taking notes there, boy? Listen up and pay attention. I'm dropping knowledge from the tree of life.
Well, hey, if we're any lucky, maybe we can see some Triceratops while we're up there. And really,
You might see them, but you won't hear them.
That's right, because the pine tree needle slippers.
That's right, pine trees and sphagnum moss.
What was that word again?
Sphagnum moss.
Okay, that sounds pretty legit.
It's a real, real deal. You ever find yourself taking a shit out in the wild, you'll be looking for some sphagnum moss. Or if you want to make some slippers.
He now does pull out just a small one of those. I don't know the size of them, but the really small, just hand for like a legal notepad. And he did take notes on the dinosaur, but when you're talking about pooping in the wild and what kind of leaves to use and not use, he is now taking some notes.
Yeah, why do you want those kind of leaves for toilet paper?
Well, it's because it's moss, so it's nice and moist. And it won't, like, cut up your butthole like a dried up old, like, holly leaf or something would.
Like a pine cone. I dried a pine cone once. No.
I mean, in terms of texture, it'd be real good for giving your butthole a good scouring. But, I mean, look at your long-term plan there. You ain't going to be wiping your butthole with a pine cone every single day. Less than you want to give yourself pine piles.
Yeah, I like to use that moss, too.
It's good stuff, sanitary. Keeps nice and clean.
And
I hear in Paris, France, they have these things called bidets. Where's that? Squirts water. It's a place up in Europe, I think. But anyway, they got these things like in the toilet. It jets cold water straight up your butthole.
Oh, that sounds painful. Clean.
You don't need no moss at all.
How strong are we talking?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it depends. Are you looking at, you don't want to be copying like Madame Putin too? Maybe that's how she got started.
I forgot about her.
She had the jet and the bidet turned up too high. Oh,
and that's how she learned how to play the trumpet with her butthole.
Oh, you heard about her. Yeah. Oh,
everyone's heard about Madame Tootin' Fruit.
Madame Putin Toot.
Oh, look, there's the camp that Doc's staying at. And
how convenient.
He's like, cut.
The sun is now...
No more poop story, please.
The sun is just barely setting now. So it's actually kind of it's vibrant colors throughout the sky, but there's enough light where you can see pretty much everything. It's not dark yet. And you see in the distance what looks like kind of makeshift palisades all the way around, making a circle. And around that circle, off, you know, a little bit away, kind of grazing, you see some ankylosaurs, some triceratops wearing slippers. And some hadrosaurs, whatever that is.
I ain't never hadrosaur.
but they're not in the camp. They are just kind of grazing around, eating little tufts from just the bare. Every once in a while, you see a couple trees, kind of popped up in the plains, and a little bit patches of grass that they're all chomping down on. But Silas will lead you all into the barricades around the town.
Okay, so, yeah, Doc, like I said, Doc here, he's a healer of sorts, and he found out that a couple of halflings got trampled in a stampede, so he came up here to see what he could do. Not really sure where he is, so if one of you two fine folk wouldn't mind yelling for him, because if I do, it's going to bring these walls down. I'm still whispering.
Remind me who I'm supposed to be yelling for again.
Doc. He just goes by Doc.
Hey, Doc!
Couple seconds go by, and then you see the figure of a Warforged come out from a tent. And they're dressed in a brown vest, collared shirt, but are bare from the waist down, but it's like a Ken doll down there.
He's bare from the waist down.
that is not B-E-A-R.
Oh, you he mean
is
he not, ain't wearing no pants?
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you.
He's got a pair of small, rounded spectacles perched on his noseless face somehow, giving him a really bookish look. And he comes over to you all, and I'm going to like doing this voice because I'm going to rely on my good old
use your modulator.
Yep, I sure as shit am after what I've been through tonight.
Well, you got it. You might as well flaunt it. I don't know why you thought you could do an English accent. You never learned an impression of me.
Hey, Silas. Hey, Twang. Who you got here with you?
I mean, no, sorry, wrong podcast.
Oh, fuck. He asked Silas a question, didn't he?
These are Sean Marston.
Hey,
I'm a bear. Sean Marston and John Bliah Pendergrass. They're here to help us with the clot situation.
Yee-yee.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, fantastic.
Tell him, Sean.
I'm just finishing up tending to the wounds of the previous stampede. Should it be more than maybe a half hour or so? If you all don't mind, we'll just hanging out in town and waiting for me, and I should be done in just a minute. I'm splinting up one last injured ankle.
All right. I don't know what you two want to do.
If you want to see the face of a man who is regretting his life decisions.
No, I was looking. Okay, again, you need to watch these streams because somebody just donated $10. And I guess you get to pick a gift to send when you donate money or something. Because all of a sudden, a big toilet just popped up on the screen. And I had and I'm looking at this big toilet thinking, I was thinking, what is, like, I was so
shitty
confused.
Cowboys.
I was like, what's this big toilet? And then it said, shit. Oh, no, I feel so bad. I forgot their name because I was so fucking preoccupied with the toilet.
Out yourself with the toilet.
Yes, thank you so much, whoever just donated.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, all that money goes back into these shows. So thank you so much. And if you couldn't tell, I mean, it's just top-notch quality you get here, like... perfect, superb voice acting.
All right, you guys want to play us, like?
Yeah. I mean, don't fucking drag all of us down with you.
I feel like it's kind of like a group, you know, like a group thing, right?
Yeah, man, we're all pulling in the same direction,
right? Yeah, yeah, all going the same exact level of voice, just voice is situation, right?
I certainly think. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, what do you guys want to do here for, you know, apparently a half hour?
Well, I mean, I guess I kind of want to pet the ankylosaur.
Okay. They are outside of the village, but certainly within reach, unless they spook easy. Who knows? So, are we just going to go play with some dinosaurs?
Well, I don't know what else there is to do, really. I mean...
There's not much.
Yeah, we'll go play with the dinosaurs then.
What's an ankylosaur look like?
It's kind of like an armadillo, but like...
With human
big
feet?
Tail?
Like a lizard armadillo, like reptile, big, beefy thing.
Sean, you probably watched a lot of the Jurassic Park Netflix show.
Nope.
Oh, really? Liam and Chase watch it all the time. Yeah.
I'll get you a picture of one, boy.
Okay, yeah, he'll send you a picture
it.
Of one.
I got it. I see
they're pretty... Oh, they're pretty, ooh, look, as far
you're
as I know...
You gonna pet that thing?
I think they're pretty cool. Chill.
I mean, when out of character, when I was a little boy, I had a little rubber ankylosaur that changed color when it got hot. I got it from the museum when I was a little kid. It was like one of my prized possessions. So yeah, I love ankylosaurs.
Cool.
John Belair, just, you know, he's next Bruno. He's real nice. He eats a lot of berries.
Not like the Triceratops. You can't turn your back on Triceratops. Don't ever do it, because they sneak up on you and they'll eat you.
They'll eat people, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When they're feeling brave, they'll come for you.
I thought they only ate veggies and mice.
Well, that's what they want you to think. You see Wong running through the scrub when he'd been on a killing spree with six feathers on each horn. Like kebabs. You wait until they ferment in the sun and then they scrape them off against a tree and eat them. I seen it. Killer triceratopses. You think they're all placid, nice. You should get on the wrong side of one. When you get on the wrong side of the hunting season, the triceratops. They'll get you.
As you two are heading out to leave the walled-in section of the village, I say village, but this is a nomadic population. These halflings, these walls are able to be broken down and made into like sleds that they can attach to harnesses, and the dinosaurs can drag. This entire town could be broken down and put onto these sleds. So they can kind of roam around, and they just, you know, herd these dinosaurs just like cowboys do. They're pretty much halfling dinosaur cowboys. It's actually pretty badass. But as you two are both heading outside of the walled-in area, you hear this ground-shaking rumbling start to build. And then you start to hear panicked cries in the distance. Oh no, not again! And I think that's
I'm sure that's nothing we need to worry about.
No, definitely not. And I think because I don't think we'd have enough time to finish this next scene that's about to happen.
Well, you've got an action-packed evening for yourself planned, haven't you?
Yep, so, I believe this will be a very good cliffhanger stopping spot and give us time to plug some stuff.
I've enjoyed this so far. I'm excited to see what's going to happen in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, I know. I'm already very excited. I'm very sad that if I thought we could finish it, I would definitely go for it. But
that's cool. It's better to leave them wanting more and not just cutting off because we need a hard stop.
Right. So, Jerendu, where can people find you at?
You can find me crying into my cereal every morning. No, you can find me all over the Majestic. You can find me all over the Majestic Goose Network. I'm on Roll for Weird as Silas Lancaster, hence the confusion throughout tonight's performance, as Adam foolishly thought he could get away with
that,
doing this.
I really thought maybe I can do that. Maybe I can do that. I can't, right now, if I'm going to just try to say, give me a line to say. Filbert, my dear boy. I can't even fucking start it.
You need some gravel in your voice, man.
Filbert, my dear boy. No, it's still, I'm just doing the fucking,
I don't have emphysema.
I'm glad I bailed on that.
It's more, yes.
In the adventure.
The elderly voice, it sort of rambles along in the back of the throat there.
In the adventure, his name is Silas. I was like, it would be funny if I make it sound like Silas from Rough Weird.
I'm afraid that was one step beyond. But yeah, you can find me there as Silas Lancaster. You can find me here at Jambalaya Pendergrass every other Wednesday when it ain't a shitty Cowboys podcast drop. You can find me as Jerundu. Hello, I'm Jerundu on Dice Talk with co-hosted with the beautiful, the talented Jeremy Fair. And you can also find me every Monday night live at 5 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. GMT as Flex Gristle on the Modrus Bloodsport Association with Adam DeWeese as my broadcasting partner, Razor McGirth.
And Sean, where can people find you at?
Nowhere.
He's a ghost.
He's a man from nowhere.
Don't find me.
Some say he just materializes.
You can find my Twitter, but that's it.
And Yeah, I've got a couple
things. Stay the fuck away from Sean.
I've got a couple things I want to plug. One of which Sean's on is my first ever homebrew campaign, Halfway to Heroes. We are about to tonight record the penultimate episode, I believe. I don't know. We'll see what happens tonight and the next one. But I believe this is going to be the penultimate episode, and the finale will be the next time we record. Very sad about that, but also very excited for the next campaign we're about to kick off, after which. So if you have not yet listened to Halfway to Heroes, definitely suggest checking that out. And then two big things that I need to plug are, one is my brand new show. It is my current baby, and that is Lauren Poor. Sean's idea, actually, initially, because big he was brain. Fucking make... No, because you were fucking making fun of my other show.
I was going to do
a show called Lauren Snore, which is now going to be a Patreon exclusive. So if you're not a Patreon, you can sign up for as little as
$1. Was just totally spitballing. Adam's like, wait a second.
Yeah, wait a second. You're fucking onto something. And
how do you think NBA happened?
That's how is NBA it? Happened, too. That's how exactly all of our shit happens. Somebody throws out an idea, and it fucking snowballs. So what Lauren Poor is it is drunk history meets D&D lore, where I bring on a guest. They don't get their topic until 30 minutes before we hit record, and then they get 30 minutes to like study while myself and them both drink a lot, and then we hit record, and we treat it as if they are the absolute expert on the field. And they, whatever they say goes. So we've got two episodes out right now. It's going to be, I think, a bi-weekly show. But right now, for the month of February, for its launch, we're going to go weekly. Which means that this coming Monday, Jeremy Fair's episode will come out. Jeremy talked about Tarrasque. Sean got to talk about Illithid for the debut episode, since it was his idea. Dustin and Johnny had a duo episode, which was a lot of fun, on the astral plane. And then after Jeremy's episode, the one and only Jerundu over there gives you a tour guide, guided tour of the Nine Hells, which is a lot of fun. It's a lot different than the other ones. It's very cool.
Brittany's.
I just refuse to conform to whatever.
Well, that and upon. I gave you like nine topics.
You did give me nine topics, yeah.
Brittany should be after that. My wife Brittany's on that episode talking about dragons. Tim Lanning's on.
I can't
on
wait to hear that. Yeah,
Tim Lanning.
I can't wait to hear that.
Tim Lanning was on that episode talking about the Gith. And then
I'm a big fan of Tim, don't get me wrong, but I cannot wait to hear
that. I know. I'm going to put it on Patreon very soon. I've got it ready, and I was going to put it on Patreon, and then I was like, I don't want to dump too much stuff too early. So I'm like waiting. And I am going to put it early on Patreon, but not yet. And then this coming Thursday, I'm recording an episode with Bianca from the Broadswords. And then I've got, after that, it's going to be Ted from the Nerd Asylum. Or not the Nerd Asylum, sorry. Nerd Immersion. I've got some other people that are lined up for guests. Very excited where this show is going to go. So go check that out. And second show that also launched this week is a very big week for the Majestic Goose Network. We also rebranded One Shot Onslaught, which was pretty big. And then Eclipse Podcast launched, which is like sci-fi thriller D&D in space. It is GM'd by Jeremy Fair, of course. And I'm a player in that one as a mind flayer. And we're having a lot of fun with that one. And it was it's kind of bordering on like D&D / audio drama, where it's a very produced show, where it's got a lot of sound effects and background, and it's in space. The theme is very heavy, and it's really, really good. You should definitely check that one out too. I posted a link to both Eclipse and Lauren Poor in the chat, so the first like 3-4 weeks of a podcast are super important. So if you wouldn't mind going listening to all of our episodes and leaving us a rating or review, that would help us so much. And Jumbalaya just floated off in space.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. We will see you all in 2 weeks, and I can't wait to see what these dinosaurs are up to. Bye, everyone.
Well, back in 1849 in Springfield Gold Nugget Mine, my great-grandma Dolores saved the day when she propped the shaft and saved the lives of 140 Springfield wives. Boom, 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 boom. Men folk found their women scary, cause they were so big and hairy, they thought that dynamite would seal them in. Well, my gramps was known as Chaplips Calhoun. He was in the local saloon, and in came Billy Joe Walton through the door. Said they'd blown the golden nugget. My granddaddy said, "Oh, darn it," and they buried my Dolores. My sweet little golden ore swings on. Well, my granddaddy jumped up from his table, finished his jug, brushed his teeth, went off and gave his horse a fine rub down. Cause cowboy's life ain't easy. Cowboy's life is hard. You can take him from the saddle, but he'll be alone in his heart. Well, my grandpa was a man in love, called Dolores his prairie dove. Told her that he loved her, then he sighed, cause she never once forgave him, even underneath the cave-in. But he knew she would forgive him in that gold mine in the sky. Going all the way back there, that was a ballad of Chaplips Calhoun by the late Sideways Hank O'Malley.
A Majestic Goose Podcast.
Hank.